firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord.
Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz. And today, as we hop aboard the Bible bus, we continue our study of history's most beautiful love poem found in the Old Testament book, the Song of Solomon. But as we're finding out, this love story has really a deeper meaning. It pictures the loving relationship between Jesus and you and me when we know him as our Savior. Now, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, has a lot of wisdom to share with us today. But before we get started, here's Greg Harris to give us an update on Through the Bible's vision for taking God's whole word to the whole world. So, Greg, I got wind that you're taking us to a beautiful place I want to go to someday.
Yes.
The country of Thailand.
That's right. A country that decades ago used to be known as Siam.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
If you're old enough to have seen that movie, The King and I, that was actually set in Thailand. It is, Steve, I've been there many times. It's a beautiful country. It's a sad country because there's some terrible things that go on with sex trafficking and suicide and hopelessness. But we have a good word. We have a report that just came in that you and I have in front of us. And we want our listeners to enter into the privilege we get to have. These reports pour in almost every week. We just want to share some of the elements of this. And let me set the stage to say that we have partners that don't just put the program on the air. They go out and meet with listeners. And so they went to a place called Chiang Rai. It's a province. They told me it was a 12-hour drive. You've done a 12-hour, 13-hour bus ride in Nepal.
I have a whole new appreciation for long road trips in other countries.
Exactly. And they visited with listeners in their homes, and they had a church meeting. And why don't you pick up some of the details
there? More than 200 people came. They came by car, bike, bus, motorbike, even by foot.
Yes.
And as you mentioned, five churches were represented. The interesting thing was that, and this was back in October, more than half in attendance raised their hands when asked if they listened and followed through the Bible. That is just such an encouraging statistic to me that that number of people would do that.
And another part of this report said many of the Christians are spiritually fed through the Bible. That's no surprise.
Yep.
Some cannot read, but are spiritually solid. Some are blind. Some could not walk. They are paralyzed, but they listen faithfully. And Steve, this is an element of our ministry that we sometimes forget to pull into focus, which is that so many people in other parts of the world, if you have a disability, a physical disability, you are isolated. The societies don't make the effort to include people, help them be mobile. And so the radio ministry is so precious.
Yeah. Also that many listeners listen through apps such as Facebook and Line, which I'm not even familiar with. I know that's probably
it's
popular
basically
there.
Like WhatsApp or a texting app. I had to ask them what it was. I didn't know either, Steve.
Okay, good.
And around the world, our listeners are they're grasping new technologies and using them, and on all of those different platforms are delivering Through the Bible in the Thai language.
Yeah. Well, let's get right into some of these stories. Yeah. How about that? Here's somebody that's on the Bible bus in Thailand, and these names are tough.
Don't even try. A wonderful lady.
No, I want to try.
Okay, you're going to try?
Phiao Yiao province is where she's located, and her name is Sukanya San Si Chai. It probably means something very beautiful.
It's beautiful, and you actually did pretty well.
Wonderful.
Thanks.
Okay, so here's what she says. She's, and I guess this is just a testimony.
Yes.
She currently is the only Christian in her village. She is paralyzed and cannot walk. Her legs and arms freeze up at times. She can talk, but her tongue freezes up also. That's interesting.
Yes.
She's able to listen and understand well, though. She lives with her father and mother. She sews scarves or anything else to do with cloth. Using her feet, she does almost everything. She sews cloth into scarves for a living, and she makes phone calls and writes messages on her smartphone. She uses her feet to help her in everything. In 1 year, she is able to go to church 2 to 3 times because the church is far and difficult to get there. Her family are not Christians, but she said she's thankful for Through the Bible on the air. It is like a pastor to her, constantly teaching her and helping her live her life, her faith, every day. Mm. She has never missed a program till today. She says, thank you for the team who came to visit me. It is like welcoming a pastor to my home. I feel warmth in my heart. Thank you for the team praying for me and giving me a radio in case my main radio breaks. The radio is my pastor to me.
And Steve, I mean, that's such a great story, and it gives us a glimpse into the life of this one listener. I can tell you, I've met people like this in my travels around the world, and let me tell you what it does. Even reading that, you hear that and you say, we would do anything to get the word of God to this woman.
Yeah.
And so we want to thank all of you who pray for this ministry, who give to this ministry. Your prayers, your gifts make it possible to reach people like this woman and millions of others like her.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you haven't yet joined our world prayer team, you can do that by going to ttb.org/pray and sign up for our world prayer team. Greg, why don't you open us in prayer today as we begin our study?
Father, what a privilege that you let us take your word to these precious people around the world who are so hungry and want to know you, want to know Jesus Christ, and want to know your word. We pray you'll allow the ministry to continue to carry out this great mission, and that you'll bless us now as we study for our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, we've come today to verse 16 of chapter 2 in the Song of Solomon, and we'll gather momentum, as you can well see. Here we have this very wonderful, wonderful statement, verse 16, and we mustn't run away from it. It says, my beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Now, this follows close after this section where we called attention to the fact that it speaks of the rapture of Christ for the church. That is an interpretation and an application we can make to our own hearts and lives. And this is a song. It's a folk song. It's poetry, lovely poetry. And in the highest spiritual state, it speaks of the relationship of the Lord Jesus to the believer. Now, you don't reach a higher plane anywhere in the Bible than right here. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Now, this is what he meant when he probably gave the most profound theological statement, and it's very simple, seven simple words. I in you and ye in me. That's what he's talking about. My beloved is mine. It's what the bride says. And I am his. The Lord Jesus said, down here, I took your place. I'm in you. I took your place when I died on the cross. And now, down here, you are to show forth the life of Christ down here. And you can only do it, of course, through the power of the Holy Spirit. But we're in him up there, seated in the heavens, accepted in the beloved, joined to him, risen with Christ. And if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. This is a very wonderful statement. And like a lady said, she tells him now every morning she loves him. Why don't you begin that? You're a child of God. My beloved is mine. I'm his. And that means everything that Christ is has been made over to us. You and I live in a day when we may not have very much of this world's goods, but we're rich. And this is the thing that we find that is marvelous, wonderful, infinite grace. It makes us rich. Now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, at verse 21, he says, therefore, let no man glory in man. Don't glory in Paul or Paulus or Cephas. Don't glory in men today, individuals. Today, the important thing, all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God. You see, we belong to Christ, and he's ours today. He belongs to us. He belongs to me. He's my Savior today. The Lord is my shepherd. We ought to draw very close to him and appropriate some of these glorious, wonderful spiritual blessings that are ours. And it's a high level of spiritual life when you and I get to the place and can say, my beloved is mine, and I am his, and he feedeth among the lilies. Now, what a beautiful picture that is. It speaks of a beautiful place. He feedeth among the lilies. A flower strewn couch that he sits or reclines at his table. It speaks of satisfaction, speaks of fellowship, speaks of joy. It speaks of everything is so wonderful that the world's after down here. The world's after a good time. The world wants to live it up. Well, let's have a good time and live it up and sit at Christ's table and rejoice in him. He's mine. He belongs to me, and I belong to him. This is a high level. I'm afraid that many of us cannot attain unto it. And therefore, we have to cry out, as the bride did here, draw me. Draw me. That's the only way I'm going to make it, because we'll run after you. But we can't run. We can't run the race that sets before us until we not only see Jesus, but that we have his power in our lives. Now, this is until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart from the mountains of Bethar. Now, you remember we saw him in that bright morning back here. There he is standing on the mountain peak. He's triumphed because all during the night, the hunters and the dogs, they were leaping at him, biting, and how fierce, how terrible. They were seeking his life, but he triumphed over it all. He went down through the door of death, but he came up through the door of resurrection. And now, in light of that, we are living in a dark night. And so until the daybreak, let the redemption that we have in Christ, let all that he's done for us, let it become meaningful to you. And feast on that. Rest upon that. Let that be the comfort for the dark night. Let that be the pillow for your head when you're restless. How tremendous this is. Now we come to chapter 3, but we're still in this second song, and I would say it's the second stanza, too, that we come to. And the reason I said that, I thought probably this experience that we had of him coming to her, the voice of my beloved, could have been a dream, because as we continue on, we read this, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Now, the very interesting thing here is that we actually have come to another section and another scene altogether that we've had before. You remember that it's in two sections. First, up in the hill country of Ephraim. And here is a family. They are a family that they're tenant farmers. We used to call them croppers down in Georgia, and they're sharecroppers. And they were the ones that tended this vineyard, and they had sheep. And one day a shepherd appeared, and this Shulamite girl, one of the girls in the family, she had to take care of the sheep and the vineyard. She worked so hard, she didn't take care of herself, but she had a natural beauty. And this shepherd fell in love with her, and she fell in love with him. And then he said he's going away, but coming back, and he didn't come back for a long time. One day it is announced King Solomon was coming along, and she paid no attention, because who was King Solomon? As far as she is concerned, she didn't know him. But then somebody came to her and said King Solomon wanted to see her. And when she was brought into his presence, it was her shepherd. It was the one that had said he would come, and he now has come. Now he takes her away to his palace in Jerusalem. And the scene is there. And this scene is there. And now King Solomon is busy. He's king. He's out, probably, on king's business in the land. And as he visits around, why, she's left alone there. And finally, why, knowing he was out, why, she got up and went out looking for him. It's quite interesting today, the church, I'm of the opinion, for the most part, and I don't mean just the organized church, I mean believers as a whole, are largely reclining today and doing nothing, practically nothing, to getting the Word of God out. And my friend, he's out today sowing the seed of the Word of God. He's out today trying to get the Word out and wake up a sleepy church. And so this one, she gets up and starts looking for him. And the message that I see here is a great message. If you're going to have fellowship with Christ, it's wonderful to sit with Mary at Jesus' feet. But if you're going to stay around those feet, you're going to find they're going to do a lot of walking. And you'll find that you may be busy in the kitchen with Martha, with the pots and the pans. Or you may find yourself busy out yonder on the hillside looking for a sheep. And I heard recently of a church that just in a very dogmatic and cold way put a member out because a rumor was circulating that he had been dishonest. Well, I think they certainly should have investigated. And I made the inquiry. I said, did somebody go and try to get the lost sheep and bring him back? They said, of course not. He's dishonest. Well, my friend, that's the sheep we need to get back in the fold. I'm afraid that the attitude today in many of our fundamental churches, we're in bed. And we're not going to get our feet dirty, and we're going to find out that was the condition of this bride just a little later on. She came to the place. Imagine this girl raised out yonder in the country, kept sheep, took care of a vineyard. Now she's going to loll in bed all morning. May I say to you, I'm afraid the church is in that position today. My friend, let's get out of bed and let's get to work today. Let's get the word out. And if you're going to have fellowship with him, you can't spend all the time sitting at his feet. There is a time when somebody's going to have to fix a meal back there with Martha in the kitchen. And therefore, I think this is a tremendous thing. Now she went out through the city looking for him. She's lost contact, you see, because of this attitude. And now we read the watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? And now she's out giving a witness. And that's what she should be doing. It was but a little that I passed from him, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I'd brought him into my mother's house and to the chamber of her that conceived me. In other words, she went right back to the place where she had been born. And many of us need to get back to that first love. You remember when we first were converted and first came to Christ and how much he meant to us. Now she says, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. And in other words, she now has come to a place where she's witness, and now there is restored that wonderful fellowship with him. But will you notice, we come now actually to the third canticle. This is the third song, and it begins at verse 6. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? And this is a picture, of course, of Solomon as he rode in state throughout his kingdom. And the glory that was Solomon was really something. We're going to get a little description of it here in just a moment. And what we have here is a picture, I think, ought to be of the church today as we are to go through this world as witnesses. And as witnesses, we are also a new man in Christ. We're also an engaged person on the way to meet a bridegroom. And we also are good soldiers of Jesus Christ, and we should move like this through the world. There should be that perfumed with myrrh and frankincense. How wonderful the Lord Jesus is. The myrrh speaks of his death. The frankincense speaks of his life. And both were sweet indeed. Both were glorious. We're going to call attention to that. Again, I think probably next time. It says, behold his bed, which is Solomon's. Now, this is the couch that he sat upon at mealtime, at that round table where those were gathered around him that were his intimates, where the bride sat with him or reclined with him. But notice, they are living in days of danger. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. Why are they there? They're there for protection. They're the palace guard. They are the secret service that have charge of his person to watch over him. And may I say to you today, I think that the time has come for us to say that we believe today in the deity of Jesus Christ, that he was God manifest in the flesh, and that we reject the teaching of Jesus Christ Superstar. We reject the teaching of liberalism. We reject anything that make him just a human Jesus. He's God manifest in the flesh. That's the picture that we have of him. And they all hold swords, and the sword is the word of God, remember, being expert in war. And we ought to know how to use the word of God. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. We need the word of God. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And that's what good soldiers of Jesus Christ have. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. Now look at this. Out of the cedars of Lebanon, he made the pillars thereof silver, the bottom thereof of gold. Imagine the floor made of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. What beauty there was, but also what tremendous emotion and love that you have displayed here. Therefore, go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. Now it says his mother crowned him. Well, you want to read the story? David didn't want to crown him. Fact of the matter is, there was another son of David that was carrying on a better strategy to try to get to the throne himself. He wanted to run for king and become king. And David wasn't doing anything about it. And the reason, his favorite son, Absalom, had been killed. And he didn't seem to have too much heart for Solomon. And so Nathan came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, said, "We better get busy because this other boy may become king." And so she went with Nathan to King David. And then King David said, "Well, bring him in. We'll make him king." And that's when this boy, Solomon, was made king. And I like the way that it's stated here. His mother crowned him. It was his mother that was interested in him, and it was his mother. And not actually David, though he is David's son here. Now, it says, "Behold, King Solomon." Well, this is a picture of Christ. Behold him. Behold him in his birth. Behold him in his life. Behold him in his death. Behold him in his resurrection. Behold him in his glory, and behold him as the one who's coming. My friend, the solution to the problems of life are found in Jesus Christ. Now, I don't like the expression, "Jesus is the answer," or "Christ is the answer." I want to know what the question is. And you tell me what the question is, and then the Lord Jesus will furnish you the answer.
You know, Dr. McGee is right. The solution to the problems in our lives can only be found in Jesus Christ. If you'd like to know more about God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ and begin living your life with Him and for Him, then visit ttb.org and click on the banner that says, "How Can I Know God?" Or just call us today at 1-800-65-BIBLE and we can help you out. We'd love to celebrate this decision with you and provide you with some helpful resources, including Dr. McGee's booklet titled "Faith Plus Nothing Equals Salvation." This is an important choice for you. So if you haven't yet made the decision to give your life to Christ, we pray that today will be your day. Again, visit ttb.org, click on the banner that says "How Can I Know God?" or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE and ask for a free packet of information, including Dr. McGee's e-booklet called "Faith Plus Nothing Equals Salvation." Now, before we go, I want to take a minute to thank those of you who sustain this program, both financially and through your prayers. We don't talk often about supporting Through the Bible financially, but that doesn't mean that we don't need your faithful partnership with us. So when the Lord prompts you to give, we'll be thankful for your support and put it to immediate use. Now, to find out how you can provide a tank of gas or maybe a new set of tires for the Bible bus, visit us at ttb.org/give or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. That's 1-800-652-4253. You can also mail your financial support to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, or for our friends in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. Well, that's all for us today. I hope that you'll join us tomorrow for another study in the Song of Solomon here on Through the Bible.
To him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.